It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in on climate developments at the Earth's axis and the melting of ice sheets. Dozens of Antarctica's weather stations, they're monitored by Wisconsin researchers. Call in with a question. Share your comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. David Mikolajczyk is a researcher at the Antarctic Meteorological Research and Data Center. The Wisconsin-based project is a collaboration between UW-Madison and Madison Area Technical College. David, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So your research with the Antarctic Center is based here at UW-Madison, but you recently visited the icy continent. Can you tell us about that visit and what you learned?
Yeah, so this past November to early January, I deployed to Antarctica. And this is something that our group has done on an annual basis since we started working on the weather station program in Antarctica since 1980. And so every year we go down to maintain our automatic weather station network. This year in particular, we had a predetermined list of approximately 20 automatic weather stations that we were hoping to visit to fix up any instruments that may have been broken, dig up any sites that may have been buried, things like that. So the primary work that we do is actually more of like being a field technician rather than actually doing the research when we're in Antarctica itself, because our weather station network is always transmitting the data back real time to us. And so we can see that data, like, for example, right now, I'm seeing that the coldest temperature in Antarctica from our network is negative 77 degrees Fahrenheit in East Antarctica. So we get to do the research when we're back home. When we're down there,
you're doing tune-ups.
Fix
yeah.
the sites.
Yeah, you're doing tune-ups from site to site, right?
Yep.
I'm wondering, if you notice visible changes between your visits in the melting landscape, or does it seem very similar when you arrived from the last time you went?
Yeah. For most of the sites I've gone to, it looks pretty similar. Actually, the biggest difference that I'll usually notice is that the site has more snow accumulation at it than in a few years ago. And that's mostly simply because of the snow that accumulates at the site. Some sites do get falling precipitation, of course, as well. But for most of the sites we go to, I haven't noticed a huge change. But I know that there has been a lot of variability in the sea ice in the surrounding Southern Ocean, something that we can't see from our sites itself, but has been noticed.
Because your weather stations are mostly inland and not near the continent's coasts, near the ocean. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we have a few that are on the coast, but the large majority are inland, either on ice or on islands that are kind of near the coast, but still on land. And then a lot of them that are on ice shelves or the ice sheets over the continent itself.
On the ice shelves or on the ice sheets. And we're going to talk about those ice sheets in a moment. But in terms of these weather stations, how durable are they and how reliable are they as they, send you this vital research information and capture it and send it back to you like in real time?
Mm-hmm. They are extremely durable until they break. And Antarctica is a very harsh continent. So actually it's it varies on the location that they are installed. And so it's in Antarctica are a little nicer to our weather stations. And actually one site that I visited this past season, it's called Letau, but it hadn't really been serviced for 10 years. And it was still giving us rock solid data that whole time. Whereas at another location that's near McMurdo Station, where we base most of our operations in Antarctica, it's called Minna Bluff. And that site gets very windy and gets a lot of rime ice and snow accumulation on the sensors themselves. And so that site, its instruments break usually on an annual basis. And so we had to go to that site as well this year and totally rinse, swap out all the instruments on that. So it does vary by location, how durable the sites are, but we monitor the data as it comes in. And if we see things that data that starts to look a little off, then we'll note that and probably have to visit it in the coming field season.
Do like penguins ever meddle with the equipment?
We've never recorded such an incident, but we don't leave it out of the realm of possibility. No, in all seriousness, I don't think they do. And we only have a few sites that are located near penguin rookeries. But as far as we can tell, they're mostly just curious about it and respectful of our our weather stations.
I love that answer. That's wonderful. So, you know, as you look at the information on these ice sheets, and we know that there is significant melting underway at the coast. Are the ice shelves on the east and west sides of Antarctica, are they deteriorating in like similar ways?
It depends on the location once again. And so in West Antarctica, there's a glacier called Thwaites Glacier. And I've seen the to as the Doomsday Glacier in a lot of articles and such. And it is that Thwaites Glacier in West Antarctica is retreating and deteriorating very quickly. And that has significant implications for the stability of the entire West Antarctic ice sheet, because Thwaites Glacier and the ice shelf that forms from that glacier flowing off of the land and onto the surrounding sea. The ice shelf itself is breaking up. And when that breaks up, that causes the ice sheet to flow off the land more quickly. And so there's numerous floating ice shelves around the continent of Antarctica. And so if those start breaking up more quickly, then the ice sheets on the land flow off the land more quickly into the ocean, melt, and then you can get changes in the ice sheet surface mass balance and things like that. In East Antarctica, I'm not exactly sure about all of the status of the ice sheets, the floating ice shelves in that region. Although one thing that our study that was published a month ago found about the Conger ice shelf in East Antarctica is that that ice shelf, due to this heat wave that we found and the strong weather systems associated with it near Antarctica, that accelerated the breakup of that ice shelf. And so there are things that can happen, such as strong weather systems, to help break up ice shelves.
David Mikolajczyk is a researcher for the Antarctic Meteorological Research and Data Center. You can be part of this conversation. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We focus on the southernmost continent and the site of South Pole research. It's where Wisconsin scientists maintain dozens of weather stations to monitor temperatures, the changing climate, impacts of extreme weather events. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. David Mikolajczyk is a researcher with the Antarctic Meteorological Research and Data Center, recently returned from the South Pole. Let's take a call now. Jim in Kenosha is here. Jim, hi.
Yes, my sister was in New Zealand for a while, and on the south end is where a lot of the Antarctic expeditions travel, and she met some of those pilots, and they were just up there with the brain surgeons and the astronauts. And I just wanted you to have a quick comment about the last leg of your journey into Antarctica. What's the travel like?
Thank you, Jim.
It is, it's a fun little leg there. It's fun to go through New Zealand, and that's a beautiful country. And when we fly into New Zealand, we fly on commercial airlines from the United States.
And then we get fitted with our cold weather gear through the United States Antarctic Program that's based out of Christchurch, New Zealand. And once we get that cold weather gear, then we get assigned a flight time and a flight date, usually in a day or two after that. And then we just wait for the flight day. As long as weather is good, then we're flying on either a Hercules LC-130 aircraft or a C-17. And so big military planes, but then it's a between 5 and 8 hour flight from Christchurch down to McMurdo Station, Antarctica.
So what provisions do you take with you? And then what do you do with your trash?
We throw away trash just as normal in McMurdo, but that trash itself is packed, loaded up onto ships that once a year come down to McMurdo Station and remove all that trash from Antarctica and ship it back north, actually. So it's a whole big process to do that. And as far as our provisions, we usually bring normal type clothes and everything as one might do for a week or two long trip. And then as well, of course, some of our own personal cold weather gear, like winter jackets and hats and gloves.
Getting back to your study where researchers with the center, you know, published a study that found record warm temperatures in 2022. What is considered warm for Antarctica?
Well, in this particular case, warm was 15 degrees Fahrenheit. And so actually at this location, it was at one of our weather stations at Dome C in East Antarctica. It's very high up, high elevation in the middle of the East Antarctic ice sheet. Its average temperatures in March are around negative 64 Fahrenheit. But in March 18th, 2022, it got to a record warm temperature of 15 Fahrenheit. And so in the middle of the Antarctic continent, temperatures like that are very warm. And so we noticed that there's a large region of East Antarctica that experienced record warmth such as this.
And that led to that heat wave, if you will, led to this great deterioration of an ice shelf itself.
Yes. Yep. My boss, Matthew Lazara, who's the principal investigator of our project, as well as 52 other collaborating scientists from institutions around the world, found that there was connections from tropical weather activity in the tropics that led to a strong atmospheric river and an extratropical a cyclone around Antarctica. And those strong weather systems led indeed to the deterioration of that ice shelf, as well as a lot of precipitation and some record warm temperatures.
As you examine these types of climate patterns, I mean, we can't help but notice Wisconsin experiencing an historically warm winter. Are Antarctica climate patterns affecting the weather here in Wisconsin?
I haven't studied a direct impact between, you know, if the temperature gets warm in Antarctica today, how does that affect Wisconsin today or tomorrow? But there are implications for such connections and weather and climate signals such as this. And so we've had a very strong El Nino, which is a climate signal that can affect weather patterns in Wisconsin and the United States, and it affects various places around the world in different ways. And so our ability to monitor the weather in Antarctica and then connect that back to any potential climate signal impacts can help us understand how those different climate signals, such as El Nino, can impact places further afield, such as Antarctica and, of course, Wisconsin.
David Mikolajczyk of the Antarctic Meteorological Research and Data Center at UW-Madison. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. John in Boaz is here. John, hi.
Good morning. I'd like to ask your guest if the Earth's axis on the South Pole is rotated every day, well, does the South Pole magnetically have a moving effect like on the North Pole, and is there southern lights?
Thank you, John. David?
Yes, the South Magnetic Pole does indeed move, and that moves around a fair amount. This is a bit out of my area of expertise, but I do know that over the course of years and decades, the magnetic pole has moved in different locations around the continent. And while I've never been to Antarctica in its wintertime when it's night, they do indeed have southern lights, and I've heard they are beautiful. I've never seen them because when we go to Antarctica, we go during the summer when it's 24 hours of sunlight. So unfortunately, I don't get to see the southern lights then, but I've heard they're gorgeous.
Why should weather monitoring continue in Antarctica? How vital are these stations?
Having weather stations monitoring the weather in Antarctica is just another piece of the whole weather and climate puzzle that we are learning more and more about as we have these weather stations recording data year-round. And as we've grown the network over the years, that's helped us fill that data void. And so having that data available to us, and especially for a long period of time, has helped us understand the global weather and climate connections.
In our last moments together, have your visits impacted how you lead your life and your carbon footprint?
A bit, yeah. I've noticed that, especially around town in McMurdo, people are very cognizant of the waste that they create, just with trash and recycling and things like that. And so I'm a little bit more cognizant of that. Also, with the long travel times and just flying from the United States down to Antarctica, as well as going to our different sites, I'm more aware of the impact that that has on the planet.
David, thank you for joining us and sharing the research.
Thank you very much for having me.
David Mikolajczyk, researcher for the Antarctic Meteorological Research and Data Center. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.